Hey guys, welcome back. It's Damien from Marketing Food Online and Marketing Food Online Podcast. I want to get in today to a little bit more specific details about starting a home-based catering business and a few things that you may need to think about and some of the pros and cons, as well as what can and cannot be done. And then, of course, do you need any special licensing and all that? So let's delve right into it. All right, guys. So welcome back. I'm going to get a little deeper into the idea of having a catering business. I had a YouTube video that I did just recently that was very well received, and I appreciate everybody's feedback and support on that video. But they were asking a little bit more specifics and kind of delving into the idea of the business a little more in detail as opposed to the information that I had presented on that video. So I'm going to get into some pros and potentially some of the cons, and then some of the remedies and ways that you can resolve those and how to get up and running. So one of the biggest questions was, how much does it cost to actually get a catering business up and running? And to be honest with you, that's a really open-ended question. That's really difficult to answer. Some of them, some of the information that I saw online was saying anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000 and up. But to be honest with you, starting on a small scale, you don't need thousands and thousands of dollars, quite honestly. One of the great ways to actually get a little bit of experience in doing it is to honestly do a big event with a family, bringing a family and friends together, do an event within your home, not necessarily to get paid for, but just do an event with 10 to 15, 20 or 30 people. Figure out what it is, the amount of people that you can handle on your own, and just basically cook a handful of variety of foods, present it in a way that you could see yourself presenting it as a catering business. But just have some friends and family over and kind of see how many people you personally can actually maintain just for yourself, and potentially with one or two additional assistants or someone, even if it's just a couple of friends, just to get your experience and get your feet wet and kind of understand what it's like to cook for a large quantity of people. So if cooking or being a chef is something that you have a passion for, but you know your day job is not necessarily that, before you take the big dive into it 100%, you might want to kind of cater some events with your family just to get some experience in it. That doesn't really cost you anything to do other than, of course, the ingredients and your time. But this way, you will get an opportunity to see what it's like to prepare food in a larger quantity as opposed to just your normal routine of cooking every day. So it'll give you a great opportunity to experience that and then make some notes, get some feedback from your family and friends. Say, you know what, did you enjoy the food that I had? Was the menu of items, was it good, the presentation? And get some feedback from them. And then that way you can little by little build up kind of a routine or a schedule to understand how it is to present the food, how it is to cook the food, and all of that good stuff. So a couple of pros. There was an interesting statistic that I saw online in regards to catering, and it said that the top 50 U.S. caterers actually generate less than 15% of the industry revenue. It was an interesting article on the Business Wire, actually, that they actually only have 15%. Now, what does that mean? That means that there is an enormous amount of events and catering opportunities for smaller startups, okay? If you've got 50 of the largest caterers in the entire country only generating 15% of this huge industry, well, then you're in a really good position to be able to pick up a lot of smaller events and events that would normally not be picked up by these big, gigantic companies that are doing these big events. So there's a lot of smaller opportunities out there, meaning the opportunity to generate revenue and make money is big, big time. That leaves roughly 85% of the industry available for smaller caterers. So, and you can also start small and you can grow, or you can even just stay small. That's another pro to the idea of doing it. You can just do a couple events on each weekend, for instance. If you're working Monday through Friday and you really don't want to do this full time, but you enjoy the opportunity to interact with small groups of people and prepare small amounts of food and such, it gives you a great opportunity to, you can actually stay small, start small and stay small. So you can also start part-time and only, like I mentioned, working on weekends, and then you can expand to a full-time business if that is what you want to do. This is one specific food business, to tell you the truth, that you can really start on a small basis and then build up to it over time, gradually, little by little. And it's great because you'll have an opportunity to bring on board more help, more assistance. And if you're near any type of culinary school, or if you've got any type of a college or university that teaches food business, or even just in general a culinary degree, you can get a lot of students to even be a part of your staff, which is a great opportunity for not only them, but even for you. So it's kind of a win-win, being able to bring on board some students who are studying and then give them some real-world experience preparing food on a much larger scale, right in line with their degree. So it's a great opportunity. It's also a great job for what they would really call amateur chefs. So, you know, maybe it's not necessarily just cooking, but, you know, you come up with some really awesome, really amazing flavor profiles that you combine. You create these dishes that are really unique. So they're almost on the level of a chef, but at an amateur level, just doing it part-time, you kind of fulfill that dream if you ever had a dream of becoming a full-time chef that you can just do on the weekends, which is kind of a cool thing to do as well. It also provides opportunity to advertise on your job. Now, this is kind of a really unique way of marketing the upstart, the startup, if you will, of a catering business. If you already work at a job and you've got a lot of employees around you, fellow employees, it gives you a great opportunity. Hey, word of mouth, you know what? I'm just starting this on the weekends. If you guys know of any events, or if you guys are having a barbecue, or you want to get together with the people within your office, it's a great chance for you to prepare food for them and just invite them over, you know, even just to your house or outside. And during the summer or spring is great. It gives you a chance to prepare a large meal for your coworkers. And then again, that is a big aspect of the experience piece of it, where you can get an opportunity to experience what it's like to cook for friends and family, but not only that, but maybe even coworkers. And then once that happens, if you were to get the business that you actually work for, potentially could bring you on board and say, hey, you know what, we're doing an event for the business, for the company as a whole. Would you be able to cater it? We loved it. We had a great time at your home and we had a good time. So it's a good way to get kind of word of mouth. Now, with everything, there's always pros and cons. So some of the cons, some of the things that are just, you just got to be aware of course. The one thing about the catering business is that word of mouth is a huge part of growing a catering business, because here's how it works. When I had my Italian bakery, we catered events through the bakery. We had panini sandwiches. We did sub sandwiches and that type of stuff. If you have a bad event, or if it just doesn't go over well, the word of mouth could be pretty quick. If you've got 50 to 100 people, let's say, at an event, and everyone didn't really exactly enjoy it, and it kind of was a catastrophe in a sense, you have 50 advertisers in a sense. You have 50 people going out to tell 50 other people that the event didn't go over very well. So the word of mouth can kind of be, in a bad way, can kind of be damaging, but don't let that scare you as far as getting started. Of course, that's why I would say family and friend events are great ways to perfect what you do and then move on from there. So that would eliminate or at least reduce the opportunity of bad word of mouth. That's something you definitely don't want. The other thing is, you got to be aware, sometimes clients that you do these events for can be a little over demanding or demand too much from you. And this is where you need to establish up front your menu, establish up front your service, and establish up front everything about what you do. So you present that to the client so they expect what you present and what you brought to the table. Okay, does that make sense? You want to kind of lay it out for them. And say, look, you know, we're flexible to a point. You know what I mean? You need to figure out the menu, the time of service, the time of cleanup, etc. And then from there, that gives them a perspective to expect a certain level of service or certain type of food or whatever it may be. So there's no halfway through the event, you know, the client's not saying, well, this isn't what I expected. This is, lay it all out, show them what they're going to get, and call it a day. The more clear-cut you are about it, the less chance you're going to have a client who is not going to enjoy the event. So, the other thing is, I want to make sure that you are thoroughly understanding the handling of food, okay? To eliminate the potential liability issues with food being prepared incorrectly, where people could get sick or there could be an issue with it, okay? So I highly recommend you take some type of food service course, food handling service course. Now, keep this in mind that a lot of states actually require this. So this isn't something you have to do kind of on your own. This is actually something that you will have to do in order to even be in business, which is a great thing. To be honest with you, the more education, the more knowledge that you have about food in general, it's only going to benefit you. Okay, and that's what it's there for. The understanding of food handling, the temperatures, the time sensitivity of food, these are all factors that a lot of people don't talk about when it comes to catering, when they just want to get up and running from their home and they just want to make food. But you need to understand it, because here's the thing. Whether you prepare food in a commercial kitchen or in another facility, you need to transport that food, okay? There is a transit time between the facility and the event. If the food is not maintained at a certain temperature, then it becomes an issue. And then that's going to be reflected on the clients, and then they're going to see that. And the thing of it is that you then potentially becomes very hazardous, and the liability is going to be a big issue, okay? But if you can learn, you need to learn the basics and then even a few advanced tricks and methods into handling food and keeping it at a certain temperature, getting it to the event, and then maintaining the temperature at the event. So these are things that you also need to keep in mind. So not necessarily a bunch of cons. I mean, to be honest with you, when you understand the business itself, creating a menu, showing your clients what they can expect, and then you understand how to handle the food, at that point, your business is going to run fine. Don't let it scare you or fool you into thinking that, you know, every event's going to be a catastrophe or what. So what you need to get started, here's the thing. What kind of food also are you going to focus on? Will you focus on specific types of foods or different types of events? Now, there are some caterers who actually focus on events and then they create the recipes around that. What does that mean? Well, that means, like, for instance, there's a lot of events during the summertime, let's say. Traditionally, something that's really popular are a lot of freshly prepared foods that are like barbecues. You've got a lot of seafoods, salads and such. During the summertime, those are really popular foods. And of course, that's a really brief list of products. But when you want to create the menu based on the event, you can really change up and have a very versatile menu. Then, you know, during the fall and winter times, there's a lot more comfort foods. There's a lot more hearty foods prepared. So that's the idea of preparing food specifically for an event, as opposed to creating the other way around, where you're just offering a set menu and no matter what time of the year you're offering it. So think about the events, because they may actually dictate to you what type of menu you can sell. Now, this is something that's really... this is really unique, and it can actually make you more money. And here's the thing. Are you going to cook the food on in a commercial kitchen and bring it to the client's event? Or are you going to do the cooking on the premises where the client is and then present it? Okay, so there's two different ways. And a lot of times there's a lot of caterers who offer this cooking actually at the event, because it then lends itself to kind of a, you want to say, almost a more of a festive environment where people that are at the event get to watch you cook. It's not necessarily that they're hiring you as a personal chef for them. It's more or less just preparing your catering business there. But a lot of times clients enjoy, you know, the people who are there, they have their friends and family. They enjoy watching people cook and prepare the food. So it creates this atmosphere. And in some cases, you can actually charge more for that. Now, I know that sounds kind of odd, but it's almost an entertainment factor, if you will, in preparing the food. And there's a lot of events where that happens. Now, the other thing is, of course, is your state. Find out specifically, every state is different, okay? Find out specifically in your state what is required to start a catering business from home, and what is, if you're allowed to, and then if you are, what is required, okay? And then from there, what if you just utilize a commercial kitchen? How does that work? Does that offer a lot of minimal amount of investment from the perspective of licensing and permits? Because commercial kitchens have a lot of that licensing and permits, so are you going to need one? Are you not? So these are a few things as well to think about. So with that being said, I want to wrap this up. I just wanted to go over a brief, delve a little deeper into it, but I want to make it brief, as I do with all of my shows. I don't want to go on too long, but I wanted to kind of just bring that out. I want some pros and cons and some good things and bad things to think about, and may help you, you know, moving forward, may help you understand the questions you need to ask, not only yourself, but also the different health departments, or if it's the Department of Agriculture, or whomever it may be that actually oversees and regulates in your state. So, if this was helpful, as always, please do give me a big thumbs up. I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to the podcast today. And check out, if you haven't seen my YouTube channel just yet, the YouTube channel is Marketing Food Online. So if you're looking for about nearly 400 resource videos, I think we're up to about 380, I think. Check out our YouTube channel. As always, there's a lot of great information on there. And of course, you can interact with me there. And I do have email consulting available as well. If you need some more one-on-one information and dedication to your specific item, I have email consulting and, of course, a lot of other packages. You can check us out on marketingfoodonline.com. And there is a ton of resources as well, even additional books that you can get. There's even some equipment down there for food businesses. And I try to add a lot of really great resources for you guys. So I will see you guys either on the next video or podcast. Take care, guys.